Hey, let's go ahead and welcome all of our campuses joining with us, Fort Smith, Cabot, Heber Springs, Hot Springs, Conway. All of you joining online, give them a hand. Right. My name is Jason Kimbrough, and I'm one of the pastors here. I actually oversee all of our student ministries. So if you have a child that is either in between fifth grade or college, then we have an awesome student ministry team that is working really hard to learn how to help your students, your kids. And our goal, our strategy is to help them find their place in Christ, in community, and also in the church. So we're working really hard at that. And so that's what I do. I have an awesome, wonderful, beautiful family. I have a beautiful wife named Ashley. And we've been married 8 years. I have a son, McAllister. He is 3. And then also, we recently, about 2 months ago, we got put in charge of another little human and another boy. His name is Pierce. And so it's been fun. It's been crazy up in the Kimbrough home. Having 2 kids is awesome, and it's a lot of work. Those of you that have more than 2 kids, you're like, you don't even get it, okay? You don't get it. Wait till you have 3, 4, 5. Some of you have 6+. But a couple of weeks ago, my son and I, we love to play baseball. How many of you baseball fans? You love baseball. You're Cardinals fans too. I know. I can feel it. But me and my son, we were playing baseball, and every time we play baseball, like every now and then he'll hit it over the fence, and I'll act like it's like a walk-off home run, David Freestyle, game 6. I tackle him, I punch him, I smile. I'm like, "You just won the World Series!" And so we have a lot of fun. So we were playing a couple weeks ago, and it started raining, and he got so mad that it started raining. He's like, "I want to play baseball." And so I captured it all on video, and he actually, I said, "Man, why don't you just pray that the rain goes away?" Because, you know, I'm trying to teach him young about God, about faith like a child. And so he starts praying or whatever. Then he notices that I'm videoing, and he gets really, really, really mad. So I want you to check it out.
What's that?
It's raining.
It's raining? Because you wanted to play? I don't know, man. Hold on, buddy. Come here. We gotta take your cleats off. Why don't you sit right there? Sit down. Let's watch the rain.
And it won't go bye-bye.
It won't go bye-bye?
Yeah, it will.
It will?
The wrist ball stuck way over there.
Why don't you pray that the rain goes away?
Teach him young, but don't video it. I guess that's the lesson. Let's take communion and go home. It's been fun. So here's just kind of the agenda, the flow for this morning. I want to just kind of riding the wave of the holiday of Thanksgiving, you know, because let's be honest, on Thanksgiving, we don't do a whole lot of Thanksgiving, do we? What do? A whole lot of eating, okay? We stuff our face, all right? So figured it'd be good this weekend. What we're going to do, I want to share a couple scriptures with you about giving thanks, about being thankful. And then I want to give you 3 points, just 3 little takeaways of what being thankful involves, and you can write those down in a minute. And then we're going to take communion together. And it's going to be a special time. We're just going to have a time of reflection, and so I think it's going to be really, really good. So the tryptophan has worn off, and we're ready to be thankful. Psalm 69:30, look at the scripture with me. Psalm 69, verse 30. It says, "I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving." I will praise the name of God with song and magnify. Say magnify. Magnify him with thanksgiving. Circle, if you're taking notes, if you want to write in your Bible, circle that word magnify. We'll come back to that. This is King David talking, and I don't know how much you know of King David. I know you probably heard of David and Goliath and some of the more popular stories. And actually, he went through some stuff. Like, he had some victories. He was a warrior. He was a great king. But he had some downfalls, too. He committed adultery. I mean, he actually had sex with somebody that was the wife of one of his mighty men. And then he tried to cover it up. He tried to make it look like it was their child. And then he actually killed. He had that guy murdered because he put him in the front line of battle. And it had all the other troops withdraw and had, his name was Uriah, and it had him killed. David? Really? A man after God's own heart? And then that child ended up dying. I mean, dude, David had some stuff going on. And so in this psalm, if you read the verses before and the verses after this verse in Psalm 69, you'll see quickly there's a time of chaos. Like, it's a time where enemies are after him, people hate him. And so it's not the most convenient time to stop and, like, give thanks. All right? So, because I think that's sometimes we can read this scripture, I would praise the name of God and magnify with him thanksgiving. And if you grow up in church, it goes one in one ear, out the other. Like, yeah, thank you, God. I'll magnify you. I don't even really know what that means, but I'll magnify you. Blah, blah, blah. It's what we're supposed to do. Church. I'll magnify you, God. Give you honor, glory, glorify you. And we don't even know what we're doing. That word magnify, it's from a Hebrew word called gadal. And it just means to make great, to make great. So David says, I want to praise you with song. I want to make you great by my appreciation for you, by my thanksgiving for you. I want to make you great through being thankful, for thanking you for what you've done in me. So there's two types of magnification. There's a microscopic, when you make something that's little seem really big. Like those of you that, you know, in science class or whatever, biology, you get a microscope, you find a little bitty ladybug, and you put it underneath, and you go, whoa, it's a big ladybug, right? You make something that is little seem big. There's also telescopic, which I have right here. Some of you have been staring at, what you gonna do with a telescope? All right? A telescope is where you make something that seems insignificant, and you make it as big as it really is. Something that seems small, but then you make it as great as it really is. Like right here, and those of you, this is a $100,000 telescope. Can you believe that? I'm kidding. It's $20. It doesn't really work. But, like, I can see the nose hairs of the sound man. You need to trim those, okay? And I can just see all across this room, whoa, sir, your biceps are huge. They're as great as they really are. You work out. CrossFit. So a telescope makes things that seem small and insignificant, and it makes them as great as they really are. So in this psalm, you know, David, he's not saying, all right, I want to magnify you at Thanksgiving. He's not saying, like, the microscope. He's not saying, all right, I'm going to try to conjure up some stuff. I'm going to try to think really, really hard. I'm going to try to exaggerate because you're small. I want to make you seem bigger than you are. That's not what he's saying. We do that sometimes. We make things that are small in our lives, things that really don't matter, and we magnify them and make them bigger than they are. Our problems, our trials, our sufferings, little things that mess us up in the day. I do it all the time. We make little things seem bigger than they are. What David is talking about in this scripture, magnify, he's talking about make great something that's already great. He's saying, I want to place my focus on this, on God. Through my appreciation, through my thanksgiving, I'm going to make you look as great as you really are. Magnifying, focusing. I want to make you as great as you are, because sometimes you seem small to me, God. Sometimes you seem insignificant. I'm going to make you great by my thanksgiving. Are y'all with me? Does that make sense? All right, so how many of you, you saw a little bit of my world. How many of you have kids? Raise your hand. God bless you. All right, so I don't know, like, how your kids respond when you give them things, but, you know, the other day I was making my son a peanut butter and jelly. We do lots of PB&J up in my house, and so I made him a peanut butter and jelly, and he goes, thank you, Dad. He's like, I love you too. What else do you want? You want some candy? Do you want me to go buy you a toy? I love you. I love it when my son is appreciative, when he's thankful, because I do a lot for him, right? I mean, I do a lot for him. All right, so, but the other day he said, hey, Daddy, give me my milk. No, you didn't. I said, no, sir, you will never get milk. In fact, you're on milk probation. No milk till you're 10. All right? Now, I wonder how, you know, sometimes if God feels that way. Magnify him with thanksgiving. Here's a couple other scriptures. Psalm 95, verse 2. It says, let us come before him with thanksgiving. Let's come before him. Let's come before him with thanksgiving. Now, how often, I'll just speak from my own life. that I come before God with request only. I come before God and I already have my agenda. God, I need you to do this, and I need this. This really needs to be worked out. And then I also have these 10 to 15 to 20 to 30 to 40 prayer requests need to be answered. Like, in fact, if you go ahead and do that today, that would be great. Let's come before him with thanksgiving. Let's come before him with being thankful for what we already have before we start requesting things that we need, that we think that we need. Really, it's just more what we want. Psalm 100, verse 4, another great scripture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. When we're thankful, when we're appreciative for what we have, for what God's done, it really makes the greatness of God look as great as he really is. And in our ingratitude, in our lack of appreciation, it's really a very good indicator of our own self-sufficiency, possibly even pride. And so being thankful is very, very, very hard to do, I feel like, in this culture. But it's very, very important. I want to give you three things that being thankful involves. You can write these down if you're taking notes. The first one is reflection. Reflection. Reflection takes time. Remembering. Spending time thinking. Actually not doing other things. No iPhone, no computer. Thinking, reflecting. Remembering what God's done in his word. In the Bible. God's done some amazing things. Now, I grew up in church, so I heard all the stories. Noah, the two animals in the boat, built a big boat, and then water, and Moses, and all that stuff. And it's like, those are fairy tales. Every now and then, I have to remind myself, it's real dudes. Like, God really did something. This is history. You could read about some of this stuff in, like, legit history books. And so, God was faithful for his people in the word. And so we remember that. We reflect on the word. We remember that God showed up for his people. He'll show up for us too. Also remember what God has done in our lives. I'm going to ask you a question. And it's a really simple question. You're not going to be blown away by this. But let me ask you a question. What has God done in you? What has God done in you? I think probably some of us have forgotten what God has done in us. Some of you that have given your hearts to God, I know there's probably a lot of you that haven't given your hearts to God. You're just here checking it out. You're like, okay, Uncle Eddie brought you because you're in town. Okay, Uncle Eddie, I'll come to church. You're just checking it out, and that's totally cool. Like, I hope that this experience, this service today will help you just get like one step closer in your journey towards God. But those of you that have given your hearts to God, remember the time where you gave your heart to God. Reflect on that. What were you like before you gave your heart to God? Some of you, you were angry, you were bitter, you were cynical, you were negative, you were depressed, you were suicidal. I mean, whatever the emotions, the moments of despair, it's good to remember those. It's good to remember and reflect on what God brought you out of. Remember his grace. Remember that it was all about him. Just reflecting what God's done in you. What has God done for you since then? It's like when you give your heart to God, everything just starts, just is all great. You never have a prayer request. Everything's just good. You got God, What has God done? What has God done for you? Has he healed insecurities? Has he healed addictions? Has he helped you out in any way? I remember I used to struggle with like being worried all the time, like anxious, especially about money. I don't know what it was, but for whatever reason, like I would just like be anxious for no reason about money. I'd be like, I'm poor. I'd be like, why am I saying I'm poor? I'm not poor. God's not going to show up for you. God's not going to show up for you. I'm like, where is that voice coming from? I had a headache for like 6 months straight. I'm just like worried about money. I'm like, I'm poor. I'm going to live in a shack. I'm going to live in a van down by the river. I'm like, where's this coming from? And God just healed me. Like, I don't worry about that stuff. I still struggle every now and then with it. Like, okay. But God's showed up for me in several other areas. Remember, how many of you... Just think about this. What has God done in your marriage? Remember your first year of marriage? Yeah. Somebody's like, no, and I don't want to, okay? I have blocked it from my memory. What has God done in your marriage? We need to reflect on that. We need to remember what our marriage was like and what it's like now. Not that it's perfect now, but remember what it used to be like? What has God done in your kids? What's God done in you? Remember, reflect on that. 1 Chronicles 16:12, this is David. He's writing another psalm. He says, remember the wonders he has done, his miracles. And so we remember the past, we reflect, we take time to remember when God has showed up for us, it gives us hope. He's going to show up again. And it makes a great God look as great as he really is. So reflection. Being thankful also involves, number two, perspective. Write that down, perspective. Philippians 4, verse 8. This is Paul. He's talking to the church at Philippi. He is actually in prison. He's writing this letter to the church at Philippi. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, why does he say this? And how does he say this from a prison cell, from a dungeon, from a cave, chained to a prison guard? He says, think about things that are good. Think about things that are praiseworthy. Think about things that are true, not false. Think about things that are admirable. Think about things that are noble. Why does he say that stuff? Because he knows it'll give us a better perspective on life. And that's what being thankful does. It gives us a good perspective. Now, I'm just going to have a confession time right now that I struggle in this area of perspective. One of my favorite quotes, and I think it's my favorite because it hits on my greatest weakness. One of my favorite quotes is from a missionary named Jim Elliot. If you ever watch Into the Spear, it's about him. He was martyred for his faith. He has this real simple quote. It says, wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you are, be all there. I love it because I struggle with it. I'm a planner. How many of you are planners? You're already thinking about where you're going to eat, what you're going to do at 3 o'clock, what you're going to do at 4 o'clock, the laundry that needs to be done, how you're going to plan the week, oh, what are we going to do this week? We have any appointments this week? What are we going to do on Thursday night? And all the planners have a real big smile on their face because they know they're planners. I'm always thinking about the next thing. It's hard for me to be in the moment, so I'm always thinking about the next thing. Oh, what are we going to do? 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 What are we going to go on date night tonight? I'm just always thinking about the next thing. But I really struggle with this. My mind is consumed. I can be there, but not really there. Anybody with me? Wherever you are, be all there. Because I was speaking this message, it really challenged me. It kind of rocked my world a little bit last week. I was thinking about this, and I knew I was going to have to speak on this. I found myself walking slower through the room, talking softer, thinking more, reflecting more, staring at my wife more. I remember last week I was playing soccer in the backyard with my son McAllister, and I laid in the middle of the grass in the middle of our yard. I put the soccer ball behind my head as a pillow, and I just watched my son for about 20 minutes play with his dump truck in the mud. I just watched it, just stared at him. I didn't think about anything else. I didn't get on my iPhone. I just stared at him because people have told me it goes fast, Jason. I just stared at him. I was watching the Razorback game, and our newborn, Pierce, was fussy, and I don't want to deal with kids. I want to watch the game. And I just said, why don't you go take a nap? I'll take care of him. I just held him. I had a friend recently, a couple weeks ago, he said this. He said, he's a pastor at another church. He said, as a pastor, I want the gift, as a father, as a husband, I want the gift of presence. I want to be a present dad. I want to be a present husband. I want to be a present son of God. Love that. Wherever you are, be all there. I love my wife, man. The more I think about my wife, the more I love her. The more I take time to appreciate her, I love her. She's crazy. She's awesome. She's an awesome dancer, okay? Gloria Estefan said that the rhythm is going to get you, all right? It didn't get me. Some of that, Gloria, all right? Didn't get me. So we have one of those Xbox Kinect things where you don't have to hold a controller and you can just like hand motions and you can play a video game. And so we got this dance game, and I'm not a dancer. My wife is a dancer. She's taught dance. If you've been to the women's events here, she's the mind behind the dancing and all that stuff. And so she wanted me to play this dancing game with her. I'm like, it's like a Sunday afternoon. I'm tired. I'm speaking at Elevation that night. I'm like, no, I got to go prep for my message. She's like, come on, woo, woo. I'm like, okay. And so I'm sitting there dancing like, ooh, I can't dance, But we had fun. We laughed. We enjoyed the moment. It took 20 minutes, 15 minutes, And then I had to go take a shower. I'm sweating. Feeling like a loser, feeling the most insecure I've ever felt in my life. My wife is awesome. She's crazy. She's a dancer. I'll walk into a room. She doesn't know I walked into the room, and she's dancing to music, 80s music, Journey or whatever. Like she's awesome. It's funnier this summer because she was pregnant. She's like, ooh, you know, she got the... You know what's funny about my wife? She loves Baskin-Robbins. Loves Baskin-Robbins. And we don't have a Baskin-Robbins in Conway. So we have to either drive to Little Rock, Valonia, Greenbrier. We have to drive like 20, 30 minutes away to get Baskin-Robbins. But she loves Baskin-Robbins. And when she's pregnant, guys, you know what's up when your wife is pregnant. You just do it. Or you feel the wrath. So we went to Baskin-Robbins. We filled the car up with gasoline. And we went to Baskin-Robbins. And when we got there, I think they closed like at 9. We got there like 8:55 or 8:53 or something. And they were closed. I was like, man, babe, I'm sorry. You know, they're closed because I'm black and white. I mean, if they're closed, they're closed. You know, she's like, oh, no. She gets out of the car, goes, knocks on the window. The workers look at her, and she's like, praying hands. They let her in and fix her frappuccino or whatever. She's hilarious. I want to take time to enjoy what I have. Take time. Some of you, you need to get some perspective. You need to take time to reflect, and it'll lead to some perspective. What happens if we go through our life and we're successful and we get our agenda done and we got our life all planned out, but our kids don't like us? And our wife wishes she was with somebody else. And our husband never gets any attention. Or our friends. I mean, just we got to enjoy what we already have. Number three, being thankful involves giving credit. Giving credit. This is the last point, and then we're going to move into a time of communion together. It's going to be good. Giving credit. It was very trendy to give credit to God. I mean, you got gangster rappers that get an award, and they're like, yeah, 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 I'll give credit to Jesus. Every word in your song is a cuss word. Jesus is not your homeboy. He's your God, okay? Like, it's very trendy to, like, give, yeah, hit a home run, you know? But really, when we're thankful, when we make a great God look as great as he really is, when we magnify him, it's really just an acknowledgement that it's not really about us, it's about you. And if we have great things, or if we're great, or if we're awesome, it's not really because we're great. It's not really because we're awesome. It's because you're awesome, God, and you're really, really, really big. So some of you are really, really smart. Like, God's given you gifts. Every single one of you. God's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you natural talents, abilities. Some of you are really smart. Like, you don't have to study for a test. I remember those people in high school. I had best friends. Like, dude, I made like a 34 on my ACT. I'm like, I'm going to slap you. All right, some of you naturally know how to build stuff. You work with your hands. Somebody says, oh, we need to, listen, Target has a sale on swing sets. You're like, I'll build it. Where's the hammer? Build that thing, cut down a tree. All right, I don't know how to do that. I don't even know how to hang a picture on the wall when it's level. Ashley's like, you need a level? I'm like, no, I know it's crooked. It's crooked. I don't need a level. Some of you are athletic. Like, you're naturally good at everything you do. You run fast, jump high. Some of you are not. You're just not. It's not your gift. You're like, you know, whatever. Some of you, you're an organizer. You're a planner. You're an administrator. That's a gift. Some of you are great moms. It's just natural. My wife's a great mom, natural mom. I'll be like rocking the baby and he's screaming. She's like, put your finger underneath the earlobe and then tickle the foot and then rock like this in a circular. I'm like, okay, like the baby whisperer, what are you? Some of you are great business people. Like, everything you touch is successful. Some of you are great leaders, great influencers. Like, people love to be around you. And you think it's really just all about how great you are. Some of us, we take credit for our gift, but this is a little reminder for all of us. Your gift was a gift. And when you receive a gift, that's what you do. You receive it. You don't take credit for it. You don't say, yeah. Well, our gifts were gifts. God put them in there. Everything good in our lives is because of him. The air that we breathe. Every single one of you know people that have lost everything because they took credit for their gift. Because they thought it was about them. They thought about it was their own self-sufficiency. They thought it was about their own goodness, their own greatness. But when we magnify God with thanksgiving, We make a great God look as great as he really is. One act of self-sufficiency, one act of pride can bring your family down. It can bring your life down. You will suddenly be humbled. The word says that pride comes before a fall. It's true. So when we magnify God with our thanksgiving, we make sure he knows we're giving you credit, God. You sustain us. You hold us together, God. Everything in this world is really just about you. Apostle Paul said to the church of Galatia, he said, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. So as we're about to pray in a minute, but every weekend that's where we end. As a church in our services, that's where we go to. At the end of our service, we go to the cross. We always end up there because honestly, when we kneel before the cross, when our posture towards the cross, it's really hard to stand before the cross and go, it's about me. I get what I want. When we go before the cross, we realize our depravity, we realize our weaknesses, we realize our dependency on him. We realize that really it's because of you, God, that we're able to be alive, that we have the family that we have, that we've received so much grace and mercy from you because you gave it to us. It was a gift. Salvation was a gift. My marriage is a gift. My kids are a gift. My family's a gift. My church is a gift. My friends are a gift. Everything's a gift. Everything's your grace. Everything's your mercy. Everything's really about you. It's not about me. When we come before the cross, that's what's revealed. And so I just want to ask you before we pray, in your life, what would your life look like if you were more thankful? If you reflected, if you got perspective, if you gave God credit, if that was just like a discipline of yours, if you really just took the time to reflect and enjoy what you have. Husbands, what kind of father would you be? What kind of husband would you be? What kind of man of God would you be? Women, what kind of mom would you be? Would there be more peace in the home? Would you walk slower through a room? Single people, would you be more ambitious, less ambitious? Would you live more your life more on purpose? What would your life look like, feel like? Get a picture in your mind of what it would feel like, what it would look like if you were more thankful. Let's pray. There's some of you here, you've never given your heart to God. So when I'm talking about some of these things, maybe you don't get it. When I ask that question, what has God done for you? You immediately think, well, I don't really know yet. And I know that there's a journey and all that can't just be scripted, you know, whatever. But some of you here and the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. And that's what the Bible says. It says the Holy Spirit draws us to salvation. So if you're in this room this morning and everyone else, I just want you to bow your head. I just want you to close your eyes. I want you to reflect right now just on your life because we're about to take communion. It's a special time. It's a reverent time. If you're visiting from another church, you can participate in communion. The one thing that I feel like that God would have as you take communion is that you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're here this morning, you've never given your heart to God. If that's you, between me and you, and God, I just want you to lift up your hand. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, you want to give your heart to God. You just lift up your hand where I can see it all across this room. If that's you, I see you. I'll make sure I see you. Just lift it up high. God, I thank you for those that raised their hands. Your word is very clear. When we confess our sins to you, we acknowledge you, you are Lord, that you are a leader. When we do that, your Holy Spirit comes inside of us. And I pray that right now that that's what would happen to these. I just pray that you would totally restore your children right now. And God, for the rest of us, I just pray as this time of communion, this time of just remembering you, God, that it would be a special time, a time of reflection. A time of perspective, a time of giving you credit, a time of magnifying you, making you as great as you really are. We place our focus on you right now. We magnify you with our thanksgiving, with our appreciation. And if there's any decisions that need to be made, in all of us. God, I pray that you that it would just happen. God, that we would be bold enough to make those decisions. And Lord, I just want to honestly, God, from the bottom of my heart right now, I just want to thank you, God, for my life. I want to thank you for my salvation. I remember when you restored me. I remember when you pulled me out of the pit. I remember when you turned me from a selfish, deceiving liar into a servant of yours. I remember the time. I remember the stories. I remember when I was far away from you, when I was a prodigal, when I was rebellious. God, I thank you. I thank you for the things you've done in my marriage. I thank you for my kids. I thank you for this church. I thank you for my calling. I thank you for my purpose. I thank you for the air that I breathe every day. I thank you for the things that you give me that you don't have to give me. I thank you for the grace, the mercy, the times you touch me when I'm not even asking. The times where I felt lonely and you reached out to me. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name.